steadily on the control stick arced the jet's nose up into the eternal blue. I felt like I was piloting some great winged dinosaur, laughing with effortless grace and freedom in three dimensions. But today, I was staying down close to the water to measure exactly how fast I was going. By comparing what my cockpit dials showed with the readouts from the technicians recording my pass from the shoreline, we could update the airplane's instruments to tell the truth of the new nose shape. I pushed the small knob under my left thumb and set into my oxygen mask, setting up for the final pass, 550 knots. The lead engineer's voice crackled right back through my helmet's earpieces. "Roger, Kaz, we're ready." I twisted my head hard to spot the lineup markers, big, orange reflective triangles on posts sticking up out of the water. I rolled the Phantom to the left, pulled to turn and align with the proper ground track, and pushed the throttles forward, just short of afterburner, to set speed at 550 knots. 9 miles a minute, or almost 1,000 feet with every tick of my watch's second hand. The shoreline trees on my right were a blur as I eased the jet lower over the bay. I needed to cross in front of the measuring cameras at exactly 50 feet above the water. A very quick glance showed my speed at 540 and my altitude at 75, so I added a titch of power and eased the stick forward a hair before leveling off. As the first marker raced up and flicked past under my nose, I pushed the button and said, "Ready?" "Roger," came back. As I was about to mark the crossing of the second tower, I saw the seagull. Just a white-gray speck, but dead ahead. My first instinct was to push forward on the stick so I would miss it, but at 50 feet above the water, that would be a bad idea. My fist and arm muscles clenched, freezing the stick. The seagull saw what was about to happen and, calling on millions of years of evolved avian instinct, dove to avoid danger, but it was too late. I was moving far faster than any bird. We hit. The technicians in the measuring tower were so tightly focused on their sighting equipment, they didn't notice. They briefly wondered why I hadn't called "ready" a second time and then "mark" as I crossed the third tower, but they sat back from their instruments as the lead engineer calmly transmitted, "That's the last data point, Kaz. Nice flying. See you at the debrief." In the cockpit, the explosion was stupendous. The gull hit just ahead and left of me, shattering the acrylic plastic canopy like a grenade. The 550-mile-an-hour wind, full of seagull guts and plexiglass shards, hit my chest and face full force, slamming me back against the ejection seat, then blowing me around in my harness like a rag doll. I couldn't see a thing, blindly easing back on the stick to get up and away from the water. My head was ringing from what felt like a hard punch in my left eye. I blinked fast to try to clear my vision, but I still couldn't see. As the jet climbed, I pulled the throttles back to mid-range to slow down and leaned forward against my straps to get my face out of the pummeling wind, reaching up with one hand to clear the guck out of my eyes. I wiped hard, left and right, clearing my right eye enough for me to glimpse the horizon. The Phantom was rolling slowly to the right and still climbing. I moved the control stick to level off, wiped my eyes again, and glanced down at my glove. The light brown leather was soaked in fresh, red blood. I bet that's not all from the seagull. I yanked off the glove to feel around my face, fighting the buffeting wind. My right eye seemed normal, but my numb left cheek felt torn, and I couldn't see anything out of my left eye, which was now hurting like hell. My thick green rubber oxygen mask was still in place over my nose and mouth, held there by the heavy jawline clips on my helmet. But my dark green visor was gone, lost somehow in the impact and the wind. I reached back and pivoted my helmet forward, wiggling and re-centering it. I needed to talk to somebody, and fast. "Mayday, mayday, mayday," I yelled, mashing down the comm button with a thumb slippery with blood. "This is Phantom 665. I've had a bird strike. Canopy's broken." I couldn't see well enough to change the radio frequency and hoped the crew in the observation tower was still listening. The roar in the cockpit was so loud I couldn't hear any response. Alternately wiping the blood that kept filling my right eye socket,